purpose of this basically is to talk about ways to translate our concerns for justice, for relief, for the hungry, for our concerns for peace and things like that into action. We've all, I'm sure, seen all the pictures of the starving children, and we know of many of the injustices, and it's important to educate ourselves on these kinds of things, but without some way to channel those concerns and into some kind of action. I know for myself, I just get extremely frustrated, and I don't even want to hear anymore. It's just like it's just too overwhelming, and I just don't even care to when I see advertisements or on something on education on something on Cambodia or on something in Latin America. There are times I've been looking at it and just say I just can't even take to hear anymore, and I don't want to. And though, of course, I can always get those feelings, and even though I am, even if I am acting, if I don't do something, that feeling's going to come pretty quickly, and I'm not going to, I'll just don't want to hear anymore. And so the purpose then is to talk then about some different organizations. I've mainly been involved with Bread for the World, so that's what I'll be talking about mostly. Those of you who know of other organizations, some which I will mention briefly, but if you know of them and know what they do, please talk about them, because it would be helpful to me. I'm no way trying to say that these organizations that I'm talking about are, you know, the most important ones, or it's just the ones that I know of and that I've done something with. I think that the organizations that most of us would be able to participate in are organizations which are designed to enable people who aren't able to dedicate their whole lives to certain issues. I've often felt that the only way to do something is either from one extreme to the other. You either are able to support one child in Korea or somewhere like that, that's as far as we could go, or I have to get up and volunteer my services for the rest of my life or for the next 2 years or whatever in something like, I don't know much about those kinds of organizations, but such as Peace Corps and like that. That it's either one of those two, and I do think that there is something that we can do on the local level while we are being teachers or carpenters or nurses and so forth. And this last year, I co-chaired a group at Samuel College of Bread for the World, which really helped me, first of all, in education, understanding issues better, and also to realize that we could do something. And so I'll basically give a description of that group. First of all, Bread for the World was formed around 73, it had a board of directors by 74. It was formed because of a group of Christians who were thinking about what the churches have and haven't done in the area of world hunger and poverty. And they saw that the churches were very strong on things like relief, Catholic relief services, Lutheran world relief, things like that. Very strong, and that was a very good thing. And the churches were generally very good on their official statements made by your church bodies. But where the weakness was, there was not much action on the statements as far as local churches parishes being able to do something to do something on the local level. That was the main weakness. So they decided to put together a citizens' lobby. And their vision has been to get groups of people in every congressional district across the nation writing and contacting their representatives on policies that affect the hungry people, domestic hunger and world hunger. The reason why they chose a citizens' lobby is because the people saw that emergency food aid is very important. It has to be done. But the problem is too big for small, the private groups to do themselves. And so that we need to use resources that the governments have. And also that since emergency aid is not enough, that's one kind of hunger, famine, hunger from disaster. But there's also the hunger, undernutrition, malnutrition that is a day-to-day, week-to-week, year-to-year kind of hunger that is not just dependent on whether there's a famine in the land. It's there even though food is there. And that kind of hunger needs to be dealt with long-range strategies that deals with the causes of hunger, deals with poverty, deals with structures. And many U.S. policies have an effect on these structures, have an effect on the hungry people. The policies can either can bring people out of hunger or they can lock them into it. And so the idea is that as citizens in the United States, we can influence our representatives, let them know what we think, and try to change policies. A word on just the effectiveness of trying to change policies, of writing letters. Our group would meet, and there'd be 10 of us writing letters to our representatives. We'd be feeling like this just seems like such a silly thing to do. Just this little letter isn't going to make that much difference. But it really can make a difference. The representatives do can't say the representatives read all their mail. The aides at least read them. The representatives can too. But the representative will probably get just a handful of letters, if any at all, on a certain issue. If it got 12 letters, if he or she received 12 letters on a certain issue, it would make that person stop and think. And I've heard that our representatives will look at a letter and say, well, this represents probably hundreds of other people who do not even write, who don't bother to write. Oops, I lost my page. There it is. The Bread for the World focuses on local involvement. You can be a member as an individual, which is $10 for a year, or as a group. You would receive a monthly newsletter, which on here this is October. Talking about the issues that are up in Congress, things such as, okay, this is a global water program is beginning, and what Bread for the World wants members to do is to have the U.S. government pledge a major financial contribution to this, and then it gives information on that program. Talks about things such as updates on child nutrition, on Cambodia, on development aid, nutrition monitoring, and then usually has about a four-page issue analysis on a certain issue that to help you able to talk about a certain issue and to decide whether you think that this is an issue you would want to write your representative about. The local groups vary. The group that we had is a campus group. There's also parish groups, community groups, and as a group, well, I'll just say what we did as a group, and each group can vary according to what kind of group it is. We met once a week, and we discussed issues that we got in from the newsletters, and also issues that we got that we've heard elsewhere. We wrote to our representatives together. We visited one of our representatives' aides and talked about certain issues, which really was interesting because when we talked to this man, he said that normally one person might come for the hours that they set aside for that area, for that part of the congressional district. And so it really made a difference. It really was an impact that three of us came in and sat down and talked for an hour. And that representative certainly, I don't know what kind of effect it made exactly in terms of voting, but it certainly made an impact. Other things that we did were educational kinds of things. We got together to talk about issues. We invited speakers to come, had a kind of a hunger awareness week, and had people talk on domestic hunger, world hunger, on famine, on the politics of hunger. We also started we had two study groups on the preliminary report of the President's Commission on World Hunger, which was very helpful to all of us to help us understand certain issues, and also to be able to, it was really good to be able to quote from a government resource to our representatives to say, the President's Commission said this, therefore we believe, or why is something not this way, because this is what was said. And that was real helpful to us, and that is available, the full report is available. And I haven't read the full report, but the preliminary report I read, and the analysis is generally very good. The recommendations really don't follow the analysis, but the analysis is very good. And if anyone wanted that, I have addresses to get that. One thing that Bread for the World does every year, it has an offering of letters. And what the offering of letters is, we did this at St. Olaf in our student congregation, and it is a day that we put aside to encourage people to see that offering a letter to your representative, to write to your representative, contact them on a specific issue, can also be an offering. To contact them on an issue that really makes a difference for hungry people. And we would, I'll explain some of the different issues that they talked about. One of the first ones was to establish a grain reserve, which did get established. Also, a few years ago, an offering letters to change a whole lot of things about our development aid, mainly the public law 480, Food for Peace. Last year was to try to get going a U.S. hunger survey. I mean, they're still doing a whole lot on that. It hasn't gotten real far so far, but. And this year, a global security bill is the offering of letters. And those kinds of things I can explain more, but that's not my purpose right now, to describe what each of these bills are. But, but that is, it is a push for one issue and trying to get all the groups across the country active in one, pushing for one specific issue, and which has been effective. Are there, one thing that Bridge for the World states very clearly, that they are not an organization that distributes food. And it's very clear about that. They will refer you to organizations that do that and are very glad to do that, and they see that as also a very important thing. It is an organization that builds a citizens' lobby, it builds awareness around the country, and it can make more of a difference than sending money and food to the needy by changing structures that keep that food and money to get that from getting there. And that's why it is concentrating mainly on that. And it's not saying this is the only way to do it, but this is what Bread for the World is doing it. And that's where its money goes to build this local kind of a grassroots type of involvement. And most of the people are, in fact, almost all the people are volunteer in it. There, of course, are those that are full-time. The September 1st membership is 33,649. Are there any questions so far about this?
So it's primarily a political action group.
Yeah. And one thing that, as far as local groups are concerned, they have sent out guidelines for your local group, and which you can follow to depending on what your group is like. But they do stress that three things are very important. And first one is worship. It is centered on worship. It is the action comes out of our faith that we believe that. That as people of God, we see that the hungry people around the world should eat. Justice should be done. The other part, other two parts, are education is very important, and then of course action, doing something about it.
We have stressed so much in our church that we do individual kinds of things. That's the way we've tried to help people, but one-to-one kind of thing. And I think the important thing about Bread to the World, is that it alerts us to the need for us to work in the structures, because there's something structurally wrong when there are whole peoples that are hungry. And we're not going to be able to change that if we only do it with our one-to-one kind of help. And we have to move legislation so that structures can be changed, so that hunger can be dealt with. And this is an excellent way to try to get at that. Last spring, we dealt with energy problems in some of our churches in Minneapolis, and we had a legislator there. And he pointed out the fact that one bill on energy can do more than the whole state of Minnesota individually, just trying to find ways to, if the whole state did it, it would be all right. But I mean, if we individually cut down on our energy uses and such, it doesn't begin to approach what one law will do to help save energy. And I think this, is pointed out with this.
I think one thing that's important is to find out what you can do when you leave and go back to your own community, as far as going, if an organization such as Bread for the World is one you'd want to be involved in, that by writing to Bread for the World and telling them where you live, they will send you the congressional district coordinator and the name of that person, and that person will contact, put you in contact with other people. I also got a whole list of every person in the Northfield area who was involved in Bread for the World. It was really interesting to find that there were about 50 members in Northfield, none of who were in contact with each other. And so what we did then was start putting up posters saying those who are involved in Bread for the World, those who would like to, we are starting a local group. And that really was fun. It was good. It was really good to do. And one thing that I just think is that I really like about Bread for the World is that you can be involved on so many different levels. If you're a person who a very extremely busy life, you could not come to a meeting once a week and be very involved in that way, but you still want to do something there. You still can be a member, get the newsletter when you have a chance to sit down, write a letter, contact your representative. It only takes 10 minutes. And I think that's a very good way to do it. And once in a while, if you can get to a meeting or a time of education for education, that could be available to you. Or if you can be involved more, to be able to form a group and can go from there. And it does give us opportunities to be involved no matter what we do. A few other organizations that I can't say a whole lot about, only just mention what they do. Clergy and Laity Concerned. I just read the brief description that I have here on it. It's an interfaith peace and justice organization. It was founded in 1965 to mobilize opposition to the American invasion in Southeast Asia. Today, the programs challenge people to challenge and change government and corporate policies. It's not only working on government issues, but also corporate kinds of things too. And the issues that they are dealing with are just, well, it's real broad. It's quite broad. It's quite a lot of them. Policies that oppress people personally, politically, or economically. It strives to create democratic and cooperative ways to live, work, and worship. It's an interfaith peace and justice organization. Jack Nelson, who is the coordinator of the Politics of Food Politics of Food Program with Clergy and Laity Concerned, wrote this book, Hunger for Justice, which is, I think, it's an excellent book. And it's in the bookstore here. It's probably in the library, too. I can't say much about Clergy and Laity Concerned, although I do know it has the whole local group kind of thing, too. And I have addresses for that.
I can tell a very interesting thing that happened last year. One thing that they did is, this was last January, and I remember the hostages were taken, just about a year ago, so this was like 2 months after, and there was really such a closed door, nobody knew quite how to approach this. And Clergy and Laity decided that one way they could help bring some kind of conversation between the Iranian people and the American people was to bring in a group of American people who were representative, who could just live in homes and talk to people and represent something good about Americans and share concerns, and so they could come back and understand the concerns of the Iranians. And so they went to work, and it was just an awesome kind of thing. And they tried to bring together 10 different people who would represent farmers, workers, and so on. And then these people were to go in and live for several weeks in Iran. Now, they worked and did an enormous amount of work for that. It did not come off in the way they planned. State Department stepped in and said you can't go in. The church, our church president said you cannot go in, we cannot stand behind you, and there were all these kinds of things. But that didn't stop, and then they began moving in another direction. It was just a little insight. I knew about it because my sister-in-law was a farmer, and she was asked to go, and she went through this tremendous, you know, battle on whether she could leave her family, the risk factor, the government would not stand behind them, they went in without visas, all of that, and they had to raise their own money. There had to be groups that would raise the $10,000 for each one to go in. But that is one of the kinds of things that they've been doing, is to sort of work people to people when the issues have stalemated, you know, on national levels.
Does anybody here know about Amnesty International that could say something about it? That is another group that I think is doing some good things, though I don't know enough about it to point people to it. I know it deals with trying to pressure governments around the world to free prisoners of conscience, but that's all I can say. Does anybody know anything?
I don't know that much myself. I was involved a little bit in it at school again, and all we would do is go every week and write letters, and they have a format, kind of a letter to follow, so that you wouldn't be writing things just, you know, really offensively, you know. You'd be writing it in a way that would have some kind of effect. And we would just get, at St. Olaf, they got three particular people that they were shooting to free, to help. So it was real concentrated in that way. And we'd just go and write letters every week to the people in power and express our concern and say that we were aware of the situation, you know, and you always try to make them put it in such a way as to know that, to say, we know that if you're aware of what's going on, you'll be offended too, and not that we don't like what you're doing and you're a terrible person for doing this. You know, you're a terrible country for doing it. So that's all that I could.
Well, as I understand, that's the way they work, is that they work very quietly behind the scenes, and they don't work to free all political prisoners.
Right.
They try to find specific persons who are being imprisoned, and then they work to free those. And apparently they have a very good track record for
them. Yeah.
They work to free or to publicize. One of the reasons they've gotten such a good reputation is because they haven't attempted to meddle, but just to collect and to publicize information about political prisoners here and there. So I was just wondering about the effectively attempt to, besides through evidence such as publicity, to seek the release of prisoners. I was doubtful whether they really make any kind of activist sort of efforts, but the information that they have on political prisoners, because of the reputation for objectivity and for that sort of thing that they have received, has been quite remarkable. I think it's the organization in the world today that has the most accurate information on the degrees to which political liberties and human rights are violated. And I'm not sure about any kind of activist role besides just publicity.
What you say, just letting them know that there are people who know what's going on and who have
interest. In some cases, that's really fairly effective.
Being effective in that way,
Because if you can, the reason that people get killed all the time in this country is because they're nameless. And
right.
If you can name the people, and particularly if you can single out a couple that are as kind of symbolic figures, then the government has very reluctant to do away with those people because of the bad publicity they received.
Yeah, it was very detailed. Like the letters, the information they'd give was very detailed, and to say, we, you know, are concerned about so-and-so, who disappeared at such and such a time here, and
Chris, did they have printouts of particular people with pictures?
Yeah, not, you know, pictures or anything like that.
But now I have their
situation, yeah.
What's known about their imprisonment.
There's another, though this organization, I don't know a whole lot about either. I've received some of their newsletters now and then, and it's the Interreligious Task Force on U.S. Food Policy. It's dealing with a lot of the issues that Bread for the World deals with. And they have a national impact network. And if you know more about this, then say something, but I know that they send out newsletters on certain issues, very similar to what Bread for the World will do, encourage you to write to representatives, and these are also food issues that they're talking about. And you receive a brief description of the bill, of the problem, and then encouraged to write.
What's the name of it, Kathy?
Well, it's the Interreligious Task Force on U.S. Food Policy, and the newsletter part of it is Impact, National Impact.
Yeah, I belong to Impact, and I thought it was more than food policy.
Yeah, it is.
It is? That's just what I'm reading from.
It's much broader than Bread for the World. That would be one aspect, but it's really an organization of various religious groups that formed a network on a whole number of social issues like that. Mm-hmm. And it mainly is an effort through this newsletter to get people to write and to speak out.
They do try to concretize it by including an envelope with, so that when you write, you check off that you have written and what you've written about, so that they have some kind of an idea of the impact that has come. Then they can use that in lobbying too, because they know that, you know, 100 letters have gone out on that issue from various places in the country, and they get kind of a feel of what kind of response there is to help them.
It doesn't have local chapters like Bread for the World or anything. I'm aware of.
No, it's just through the mail. Yeah. Has Holden ever belonged to anything like this? I was thinking Holden could belong to Bread for the World.
Sure.
That would just be a neat thing. You'd get the newsletters here, you'd put them up, and people could write. That would be a real way that Holden could move as a community to speak out on issues.
Just form a local chapter. Mm-hmm. Easy to maintain, because there's some people that carry over at least to the next group that comes in.
I know Mary Schramm is very involved in Bread for the World.
Karen Schramm, the daughter, is to the PLU campus. There's a group, probably about big as the St. Olaf group, 30, 40 folks, and keeps going. Does other things, like recycling and our canvas, efforts like that, money raising projects. Are you going to mention any more of the groups, or have you exhausted your list?
That's basically what I have to say.
There's
talk
three
about
or four today. More that might be worth mentioning. CROP, Church World Service. I'm familiar with it in the state of Washington here because there's something called the Washington Wheat Campaign, which attempts, through the efforts of farmers and people contributing money, to actually send food to various countries. Now, food is not sent by CROP, or in this case, the Washington Wheat Campaign, which is part of the CROP organization. CROP is Church World Service. I don't know exactly the origins of that. Maybe you do, or Norma. I don't know exactly. But in any case, what goes the wheat, or the, in this case the wheat, goes to various countries. I think one is going to be somewhere Timor and in Indonesia, and another place. I think it was Nigeria. I'm not sure, but two or three places. And the aid is not used to give away food, because one of the worst things you can do is give away food. One of the reasons why Bread for the World is not in food giveaway programs is because what happens when you give away food, and other than extreme situations, is that you create dependency. But CROP uses the food as payment in kind for such things as irrigation projects or other capital building projects, which increase the capacity of people to grow their own food. I think a very effective organization like Bread for the World, and
trying to get food aid to where it's needed. One of the big problems, two big problems in the whole aid field is one, the smallness of aid, and secondly, types of aid that go often to projects which don't get down to the grassroots where it's needed, where that malnourished, 800, by the way, 800 impoverished people, 800 million impoverished people live in the world. So CROP does very effectively in this, and I again would recommend you look into that. I think the best way you could help in that group is to send money. Unfortunately, a lot of these groups, sending money is one of the most effective ways you can work, and that has some drawbacks as a kind of action focus.
10 years ago, CROP got a freight train together and gathered food from all through the Middle West, brought it out to the West Coast to stand ready that if they could get it into Cambodia, yeah, they were going to help. Now, I don't think it ever got through.
I don't know. Again, there were too many
problems involved, and they couldn't let it go unless it worked, you know, carefully.
Yeah. I think some places it's different. Different arms of CROP, yeah, like this Washington Wheat campaign is slightly different than probably Midwestern effort. Two other organizations worthy of mention is the World Council of Churches has since 1966 had a primary focus, in, at least in its church and society efforts, on the Third World. And of all the religious organizations, perhaps it's been at least more talk ahead in terms of raising consciousness and awareness about Third World issues. A big conference, World Conference, was held at MIT in the summer of 79, in which 40% of the representatives from the Third World, very effective, they have also, perhaps as you know, given money to the revolutionaries in Zimbabwe, who is the president of Zimbabwe now, that was roundly criticized for that effort. And the National Council of Churches, of course, has always been a very effective organization for speaking on these issues too. And each of the churches has its own church and society arms. I think most cases their efforts to educate, and not particularly to send food or to raise money, but to educate.
We have an interesting thing happening in Minneapolis this weekend at Oxford College, and this is a conference that was started at Oxford. It brings together Bread for the World and all the other kinds of food groups that are in that area. And the focus of it is to bring together students, primarily students from all the colleges in Minnesota. These are like Southwest State and all the state schools and the private university and the private schools. And the purpose of it is first to discover some of the things about land issues and hunger issues, and then as a means of lifting up different kinds of careers that careers that traditional careers that can be geared in such a way to deal with land issues, so that they'll be talking about doctors and lawyers and so on, and how they can serve through those careers the needs of hunger in the world. And then it will be dealing with new kinds of careers. And there are several people coming in from various parts of the country to deal with new and opening careers where people can really work in that area. Some people here have talked to me about their interest in that kind of thing. And I think we can get the reports from Oxford after this weekend. That's the brochure on it. Maybe you were going to tell about it.
Oh, I didn't know anything about it, so I'm glad you said something. I just had that. I just think that one of the most important things, of course, to getting started in being involved with it. And we were mainly talking about food issues. There's, of course, so much more. And whatever kinds of justice kinds of issues that you'd be concerned about, just start reading. When I decided to work with Bread for the World this last year, I had been involved the year before
on just a very small level. Like, I came to a meeting, I think, 3 times that year. And really didn't know much of anything that was going on. Only I knew that I wanted to be involved in it. And at the end of the year, there were 5 of us sitting there realizing that everyone but me was graduating. And I just thought, I wanted it to continue, but I had no idea. I didn't know how to organize anything. I was scared to death to organize anything, and I also didn't know anything. But I just thought, well, at least we'll get started. And so I found another person in the same position who didn't know anything or didn't know how to organize, and so together we decided we would try to start it in September. And it was just, we did it, started very blindly. Really, we did made a whole lot of mistakes and really never got going until January, though we had a group going through the fall. Nothing really happened until January. And what we just spent a whole lot of time just reading and reading. And every time we saw a newspaper article on a hunger issue, I would clip it out, I'd read it, start it in a file. And I now have a file about files about that. And it was just amazing how, as we got going, the more we got into it, we started making connections with things and started to understand. And then at that point, it was to start to put these things into action wasn't so difficult, but we just kind of jumped right in without knowing anything. And I still don't feel like I know a whole lot, but I certainly know a whole lot more than I did a year and a half ago. Just start reading and try to make connections with certain kinds of organizations that are already there, or forming in your church, form a group that is concerned about, it could be a specific issue, it could be just social issues group or something like that. And you might focus on one certain issue at a time. And starting real simply like that, it really can get you going pretty far. But just starting your own group, if you don't have any groups already there, is not that difficult to do. It's just getting together and start talking.
Kind of snowballs, at least the way that they all, from just that very small group of people. We get letters from a friend of mine back there who says it's, getting very, they've got like an education part of it and a local part of it where they go and seek out the hungry people in Northfield and see if they can do anything there, and all kinds of, it's really growing, it's no long.
And it started with absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
For sure. As far as books to read, or I only can give things on maybe the hunger issues. This was something that Chuck Watts put together when he was here, a book. And if anyone would want to look at that, they can see that. The ones that I would strongly recommend, this Bread for the World book is really, it's not very long, and it just speaks to some real specific issues. You can get it free if you become a member. Otherwise, I don't know if it's in the bookstore here.
You did it someplace. I've seen it, right?
There's that book, and also the Tongues for Justice.
That talks about countries and who's that kind of thing.
It's
just a good primer. It's a good starter. The Hunger for Justice book has a little. I don't share your opinion of that too much, but it's a good starter. I think the book's a little shrill and a little overwritten, if you know what I mean. Sometimes I wonder if the best approach to these problems is to hammer people over the head with them. And I keep feeling Nelson like they can't move people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a question of approach. The information is not wrong. And the biblical texts are strong.
Mm-hmm. I guess that was included in that.
Yeah, I think that Simon's book, on the other hand, is one of the excellent beginning books. I would recommend that more than I would an Elson book. I have a whole lot of bibliography. I've got one up in my room by Barbara Ward, which is very effective, a new one out.
What was that called?
Something, Progress for a Small Planet, I think. Barbara World Words, a British economist. And this is really one of the finer ones I've seen in terms of the facts and the occurrence. If you want to look at it, I'm glad to share.
There's another book called The Global Connection by Dennis Schumacher, which talks about a lot of different issues, and what the book I think is trying to do is it talks about very local kinds of things you can do about a lot of different issues. I mean, it isn't no way to trying to really get into the problem of hunger or of political prisoners or whatever, but it has a chapter on other different things, trying to show our connections with a lot of the problems in the rest of the world, and from on global justice, food, international economic order, political prisoners, military spending, multinational corporation responsibility, and so on. And it also has a study guide along with it for, and it would be, I think it could be a good book for a group just starting in a church or in a community. And I think that's in the bookstore too. I don't have anything else that I plan to talk about.
Does Parts of the World exist in American?
Yeah.
Do you think of other countries in any way? Are there any?
I don't
think more kinds of organizations.
I don't think so. I've heard of talk about some Canadians trying to start a similar kind of group, but I haven't heard of anything like that.
The thing is trying to impact our way. Now, you could go on and use that as resources.
Those of you who are from Minnesota, there's a, or from Minneapolis, Hunger Action Coalition is a good place to at least start to plug into a lot of these things, which is under Hunger Action Coalition in the phone book. And Ken could be working with what Hunger Action Coalition does, but it's also a resource center to point you to a lot of different organizations.
Well, that's where Parts of the World is centered in Minneapolis, isn't it?
Well, she's on the board of the world, and she's also works with the Hunger Action Coalition. and it's the same office. So I didn't know that was an office for Bedford Road too. I think that's a good idea, because a lot of times you come here and you hear about all this, and then you think, oh, I hope I can go home and put this into action. I hope I can go home and do something. And boy, it would be encouraging to learn how it's done in action here, you know.
Because then we should spend some time figuring out how we do it.
Yeah.
Otherwise we'll die with our fire.
Yeah. Oh, really?
First thought that hits me is the community meeting by consensus.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, could you make a nutshell half the people?
Yeah, why couldn't you just form a Bread for the World chapter, which was not necessarily the whole community?
Yeah, I think that some of that would be good.
But then we have, then we would not represent ourselves.
You could call it Bread for the World at Holder.
Yeah, because we had say Holder Bread for the World, but not say Holder.
Well, it's $10 for a year, and you would only have to make a 1-year commitment, and then whoever is here would make the following commitment. So we'd want to try to see that.
There's
a carriage room.
Do you have any idea why there isn't one here now?
I can't imagine.
Are you sure there isn't one? Well, that's another question.
Well, where is the shrimp?
The shrimp is good.
Yeah.
I'm
sure I found the books in the book. He has spread to the world right now.
Yeah.
His bookshelf.
Oh, actually, I someone like Jim, he would know. Someone who's been around here for more than a year would know if there's anything like it. If not, just go ahead and join it.
I just haven't seen the newsletter.
I haven't heard of Paul and joining anything. Do we belong to anything outside of ourselves? I'm so scary.
Yeah.
We are daily at Tiffany, that we don't relate outward at all. We only come in.
Yeah.
What do we belong to?
The
ALP. Listen, people didn't even know there was a tears convention 2 weeks ago. I didn't know why that.
Oh.
We didn't know who the president was until I wrote home an ALP.
Some people are interested in church politics.
Oh, the tears convention is not politics.
It
isn't? Well, I mean, we'll start to subscribe to them, but if we understand conventions as being the delegates of the church, then we do have a voice, and then we better be in politics, it is politics. But if we work through our delegates, we can upset all kinds of things.
That's the politics.
Right now, the church moved for disinvestment in South Africa against the council of the president of the church, who got up there. I got this news just yesterday. He spoke against disinvestment, said, and Dalmini, from the bishop from South Africa, got up and said, if you vote for disinvestment, it will hurt us more than if you just leave it alone. And despite that, there was an overwhelming vote by the convention against all the structures to disinvest. Now, I think that's not politics. The politics were geared to not disinvestment.
I think
will you give me a little bit now, Bob?
We have a semantic argument over what the word politics
is. It's
politics.
It's on our level instead of being up to
politics is the affairs of the people, and it seems, you know, from the word polis, and it seems to me to be anything where you have a kind of interaction of people over such things as what we're going to do. Community meetings that hold their politics.
Well, that's probably good for the world.
Sure.
Because it's
very definitely.
I thought you were speaking about, you said, first conventions of the politics.
Well, they are. I didn't say just politics. I said they are politics.
Okay, I
said
you were.
They are political. They're more political than they are religious.
I agree, but I said you were writing them off, and I want to make some viable instruments.
You're my business and a hint of that is what I said.
Yeah. That's what I picked up.
Not too loud. I don't want to go too.
But I'm very sensitive.
I won't go too far, but I will. I will say that there is a political element, sometimes, which is not altogether positive.